Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 7:28-8:4. I'm reading from King James Version, not the same as yours, so follow accordingly. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as scribes. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our persecutions around the world is greatly upon our hearts. Please touch those who do not have a house to fellowship with those who believe in thy word. I ask that you touch them, help them, keep them. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
As a background to this morning's message, I'd like to read to you the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are just before the portion we read this morning. Jesus said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Sermon on the Mount was and is a call to a moral and ethical living. There is no doubt that Jesus gave the sermon as a standard for all Christians to follow. But today, it seems there are no more moral and ethical standards left. Now, if I would take this and read it to an audience, they will think this is weird. It's not even politically correct anymore. The preachers will be preaching something almost the opposite of this. Blessed are the poor. The messages today are blessed are those who accept the Lord, and they will inherit all kinds of things and will be blessed. They will not get sick. Jesus said all this. Chapter 7 ends this way, verses 28-29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teacher of the law. The people were astonished by the teachings of Jesus. They were moved by his authority and in revealing the truth? His powerful words and teachings were demonstrated by his powerful deeds and life. The multitudes who followed him saw something that was unusual in Jesus and that particular day. A leper, instead of running away from the crowds, he came and knelt before Jesus. I have divided this incident in three parts. First, the leper and the crowd. Second, the leper and Jesus. And third, the leper made clean. First, the leper and the crowd. This crowd was in no mood for lepers. This leper and all lepers were outcasts from the city. No one would come near him. Today, we have people who are considered lepers. We call them whatever. In some areas, I would call them beggars, drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, whatever. And they are treated very often like the lepers were being treated in those days. The church is not very interested in them. They have no money to give. They have no gifts to share. And yet, we don't realize that some of these beggars, some of these alcoholics, some of these homeless people may be very educated and able to teach if there was a transformation in their life. So, these lepers were rejected by the society. The wonderful sermon they had just heard, the followers of Jesus on the mountain, had put them on a spiritual high. They were very happy and full of confidence. And now, this leper was going to spoil their mood. Well, you know, it's like that. You go to a church, or someone may have been in a revival meeting, and everything is so wonderful. Everyone is raising hands and shouting and praising God and feeling so good. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then someone comes. He's going to ruin my day. Deacons feel that way. Pastors may feel that way. Christians may feel. And actually, this is the person, exactly the person that God wants you to touch. And it has happened in our church life here. Someone who walked in was drunk, was on drugs, and was practicing immorality. And when he came in, no one approached him. And yet we talked to him. I talked to him the first Sunday a little bit. And then the second Sunday, I am as guilty as anyone else. And then the third Sunday he came and was shaven and clean and sober. Eventually, his girlfriend came and they got married. And their life changed so much that we were great, great people to have around. That's what happens when God touches the lives of people. And now this leper was going to spoil their mood, they thought. Sermons should prepare us to care and serve, and not only to make us feel good and self-righteous. Sermons are not there for us to feel, oh, I feel so good. The Holy Spirit has touched me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this joy and the assurance of my salvation. And I thank you for choosing me out of all these people, just like the rich man who went into the Pharisee, who went into the temple and prayed, oh, Lord, thank you for making me such a good person. I give my tenth. I'm not just like him. You know what? We may not act like that, but deep inside, sometimes we do feel that way. And a good sermon, a teacher that teaches prosperity, a teacher that teaches separation from the world, may have a little truth, but a lot of deception. Because Jesus went where he was needed. He went among the prostitutes, he went among the lepers, he went among the tax collectors, the crooks. And he loved them. Can you imagine? But he had harsh words to the religious people. In the Bible, leprosy is a picture of what sin has done to all of us. We are all unclean. Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's what the Bible says, Romans 3. Our sins have earned us death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life, if you know you have eternal life, why should you worry? And yet, I worry, and yet you worry, and yet we do say that we will live eternally in the presence of God, and yet we don't want to get sick, we don't want to die. Obviously, that's wonderful because no one wants to die. But if we really believe in an eternal life, then we should say to God, it's up to you, Lord, if you want to let me leave, help me do it. And if you want to call me home, I'm ready to, maybe not ready, Lord, help me to be ready to come and meet you. Have you ever prayed that? It happens with me, Jonathan. I pray, Lord, I'm ready. We must really believe in what we believe. Does that make any sense? Believe in what we believe. Our sins have earned us death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the sad thing is that many who call themselves Christians and followers of Christ have no time and compassion for those who they consider unclean. When I was in Armenia, the first time, our missionary said, you want to go to this area there? They are Zoroastrians. They don't believe in God. They believe in... I said, are you sure you want to go there? I mean, they don't... Yeah, he said, let's go. Okay, I went. And this elderly man was coming up, and he called him, and he says, come. This gentleman is from Canada. He wants to ask you something. I said, what should I ask him? He said, ask him whether he believes in Jesus. So I asked him, I said, sir, do you believe in Jesus? Of course I do believe in Jesus. I believe in Muhammad. I believe in Buddha. I believe in the Son. I believe in... everything. So I thought this was a waste of time until I remember I had some tracts. So I gave him the tracts. I have no idea what happened. The same time we went to another area, Garni, where they worship the sun again. And I met a lady there who was selling some stuff, and I took a picture with... I asked the missionary to take a picture with her, and then I gave her my tracts. And this time when I went back, I went to her place, and there was a young lady. I gave her the picture. I said, do you recognize this picture? She said, yeah, that's my mother. She was in her 30s. I said, may I speak to her? Anyway, she came out, and then she invited us in her garden, and she made coffee and some, offered us stuff. And I asked the girl, are you still a Zoroastrian? Do you? She says, no, we became believers now. We believe in Christ. Do you know what? This is the biggest gift that anyone could have given me. This is what Jesus was doing on this earth. Healing the lepers. Leprosy, physical leprosy, was not that bad for Jesus. It was the leprosy that was in the heart of the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious people and everyone who claimed to be a good Jew. He had come to heal those, and obviously those who were physically sick too. Too many want Jesus to save only the clean and respectable people, when in fact Jesus came to seek and save the unclean and the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Second, the leper and Christ. First was the leper and the people. The leper and Christ. The verse says, the leper came and throwing himself before Jesus, he said, "Lord, if you want, you can make me clean." The Greek word is proskynousse, which means kneeling, worshiping. Proskyno means I come to my knees before a loyalty and I worship that person. That's what it means. Throwing himself before Jesus is okay, but it's not like worshiping. It's not like kneeling before and asking for his compassion. That's what this man did. While the Pharisees and while his followers and while those who claim to be religious just didn't like to see this and didn't even care what happened to the others out there who were lepers, this man knew exactly who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, the leper called Jesus Lord, just like the thief on the cross. You remember? He said, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And just like the woman caught in adultery in Luke 8:11. These were sinners. These were dying in sin. These were spiritual lepers. And they called Jesus Lord. How often do we call Jesus Lord and yet we really don't mean it? Lord means you are everything. You can control my life. You can control my everything. And I'm worshiping you. If every Christian did that, this church would be filled. Every church. Because people would see Christ being reflected in our daily life. And our love would be so supernatural love that people would wonder, how can he love this drug addict there? And yet, Jesus, when he looks at that drug addict, he sees a soul. He sees a little bit of him in there. Because when God created us, he breathed into us a little bit of him. This leper believed, must have believed, that Jesus could do anything, even heal him. I believe that this leper had more faith than I have very often. When we pray, we say, "If it is your will," and it has become really interesting because, yes, we ask for God's will, and yet we're just saying it because we don't have enough faith to believe that God can heal, and therefore we say, "Well, if I say according to your will, and if you will, and if it's your will, then that will mean if it's not healed, it's not my fault, it wasn't God's will." And yet God knows our heart, knows that we are asking him to heal this person, and yet deep inside, we don't really care. Or if we care, we don't really believe. Then we see the compassion of Jesus. Jesus was full of compassion for this leper. In Mark 1, verse 41, we read, Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." People would avoid lepers because they were unclean. But Jesus touched him. That's very important to remember. People would avoid, run away. They would hang bells on their clothing so everyone will know that the lepers are coming. The untouchables, like in India. In India, the group of people, no one wants to touch them. The untouchables were shown. And here you have Jesus going and touching a leper. Now, if he was not the Messiah, if he was not God, if he was not the living God, then he would have gotten leprosy too. But not only he did not catch that, or that he didn't become sick like the leper, but he healed him. What better proof did they want these people from Jesus? Jesus healed the lepers. He rose the dead from, from their graves, and then he healed and restored the eyesight of people. And yet they didn't believe. But this leper, maybe because no one else cared, maybe because he was so rejected. And yet today we have more people feeling that way than you think. They may be actors, they may be rich people, they may be a king or a prime minister, a pastor, many, could be anyone. And yet, as lonely as this leper, they need the touch of Jesus Christ. There was no disease that was too difficult for Jesus to cure. From the spiritual perspective, there is no spiritual condition that Jesus cannot cure. Jesus will forgive and cure the worst sinner that comes to him. One of the excuses people they use is that I'm a terrible sinner. I'm so sinful that God would not even listen to me. And yet that is the lie that the devil puts into the hearts of the people in general. Oh, I've murdered. Oh, I've done drugs. Oh, I've sold drugs. Oh, I am this. I am immoral. And I cannot quit drugs. I cannot quit this. I cannot quit that. And they are serious. And they are sincere. And they believe that. And I believe no one can quit something that has mastered him or her. No one can let go something that gives a physical pleasure. No one can defeat evil, except when God comes and takes over that body, that soul, that spirit, and changes it, and gives a new birth. And even then, the devil will come and attack. Just because you were an alcoholic and now you don't drink, it doesn't mean that you will never be tempted. Just because you were immoral, you committed adultery against your wife or husband, and now that you are born again, you will not be tempted. But now you have someone who will help you deal with that. And you have someone that will do that which you cannot do on your own. Compassion is to feel what another feels, not only to say, "I know how you feel." We say that all the time. "Oh yes, I know how you feel. You just lost your son. It was rape. He was raped." How do you know? You had never your son raped and killed, and yet we have this extra, "Oh, I feel." You don't. Only God knows the heart of the father and mother who lost the child. Only God knows what the person is going through when he or she is struggling with something that has enslaved him or her. Something that the body craves because it's used to it. "Oh yes, I am." You don't understand. You've never been a drug addict. You don't understand. You never smoked. You don't understand. And yet we... only God knows. God knew what leprosy was, not because he was a leper, but because he knows. He could read his heart. He knew his heart. He knew how he felt. Jesus identifies with the pain of the dying man. And because Jesus became a man and he suffered and died for mankind, us, he knows what pain is and what death is. No one can say to God, "Oh, you don't understand God. You are God." And even I've heard people say, "Well, Jesus could do it, but I can't." Well, Jesus had flesh. Jesus got hungry. Jesus had to worry about things or be concerned about things. And yet, Jesus knew better. Jesus knew that with the help of the Father, he could overcome. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was not saying, "I don't want to save this world." He wasn't saying that this is too difficult for me, but he felt the weight of all the sin of humanity on his shoulders. And that is a proof that he was a perfect God, but also a perfect man with pain and concerns. And the weight of sin made him feel what the way he felt. But often he uses people like you and me, to help those who need to be touched by God, the source of all compassion. Yes, God can heal you. God can heal me. God can heal the drug addict, can heal the rejected person. God can heal the untouchables. And yet, Jesus came once. He's not going to come again and start preaching to them. He now has his ambassadors. Now he has his apostles, you and me. Apostle, we said this morning in the adult class, means the one who is sent forth. So we have been sent. And Matthew 28, when Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them and tell them to obey everything I have said." The problem today is we pick and choose. We pick the verse that says you'll be blessed and prosper, but we forget about the verse that says, "If you want to follow me, you'll suffer. If you want to follow me, you will deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow me." And when Jesus said to Peter, "What is it your business that you want to know what's going to happen to John? All you have to know is you must follow me." As the touch of Jesus healed the leper, likewise the touch of Jesus heals the leprosy of sin. And as the touch of Jesus was the only cure for leprosy then, so is the touch of Jesus the only cure for sin today. And there is no other way. Jesus said, "I'm the only way, the only truth, the only life." Thirdly, the leper made clean. Jesus said to the leper, "I am willing, be clean." All it took was for this man to say, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's all he wanted to hear, Jesus. The man on the cross, he said, "Remember me, Lord." The prostitute, while she was about to be stoned, didn't say very much. Called him Lord. And Jesus responded to all in a very positive and loving way. Jesus wants to make people clean. No one is too dirty for him to clean. No matter how many crimes you have committed or anyone has committed. No matter where you are in your life, God can cleanse you, give you a new life. I know the fear is that if I do that, if I take that step, my goodness, how am I going to deal with my flesh? How am I going to deal with my mind? How am I going to deal with my addiction? How am I going to deal with this? I will never make it. If the leper had said these things, then he would never would have been healed. He, when Jesus said, "You have been healed," he accepted it. And he knew that Jesus had made him a new person. No one is too dirty for him to clean. This man's leprosy was cleansed immediately. Imagine the joy of this leper. Have you experienced the joy of being clean? You may say, "I'm not unclean." Well, John, 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 and 9 say, 7 to 9. "But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." He says, purify us from all unrighteousness. Not some of them, not only the small ones, but everything. There is not one sin that God cannot heal and forgive. In verse 4 we read, Jesus said to him, "Go, show yourself to the priest." The miracles of Jesus stand the inspection of man. Whatever your past is, you can be clean. When Jesus cleanses someone, when Jesus forgives someone, when Jesus gives a new life to someone, that change is open for inspection, should be open for inspection. The problem is the changes are not so open anymore because we are so confused, or the sermons or the teachings and the doctrines, they have confused people. It was so clear then. The leper went to Jesus and said, "Please heal me." Jesus healed him and he was made whole. The prostitute came about to be stoned and Jesus said, "Go and sin no more, I forgive you." And she was clean and she knew what not to do anymore. The man on the cross didn't have a chance to practice his faith, and yet Jesus forgave him too. The problem is that we have all been looking for nice packages, package deals in the church. And Jesus, the only thing that He offers, God, the only thing He offers is His forgiveness, love, and compassion. And then He says, "Go and sin no more." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for being so loving, compassionate. Father, we come to You for Your forgiveness. Forgive each one of us. We all have failed You and have come short of Your glory. And yet, Your love is so awesome that will forgive us if we confess our sins to You. And You will restore us and help us to continue our spiritual journey on this earth. I ask these things in Your blessed name. Amen. Would you please turn to our next hymn, which is 369.